Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Daredevil Events and Corolla Drinks present Rock at the Shop, featuring Loxy.
Oh, man, I hear you begging, please. Ain't my decision to be kind.
July 29th at South Bay Customs in El Segundo, California.
But I can't help you go follow your woman through the weather, yeah.
Loxy. Plus, the smoking kills.
Just another Southern California.
Rock at the Shop, July 29th.
And all the pretty girls start to look the same.
Corolla Drinks presents Rock at the Shop with Loxy and the Smokin' Kills, hosted by comedian Matt Edgar, July 29th at South Bay Customs, 115 Penn Street, El Segundo, California. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, according to Dr. Drew, a partially recovered narcissist, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No chance we're going to mend it. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. We love the fact that you share. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. Me so talky. All right. Lots of stuff to get to today. Maybe a little extended dance version of the news. I love doing the news, and we've been giving it short shrift because I've been talking too much. So, but I'll start by talking. Had this great moment, which is I was filming something at my warehouse for Jay Leno's garage last week on, I think it was on Friday. And Jay, it's weird with crews. He rolls pretty deep with the crew. He's easy, but the crew is like, you know, setups and multiple, 25 people. And a lot of girls and a lot of good looking girls. And the reason I say that is because I got out of the car, and Phil jumped out of the car and was trotting around the warehouse, and all the girls were sort of going like, oh, look, it's, you know, they love it.
Classic technique.
Love it.
Real panty dropper.
Let that dog run around.
But at a certain...
Oh, he's mine.
At a certain point, Jay and I went to another part of the shop. We're walking and talking and kind of blocking and figuring. And when I turn around to come in the other part of the shop, there was Phil. He was laying on his back, and there were five girls around him all just rubbing on him. And he was just splayed.
Happy camper.
Splayed out. Yeah. So we're doing
King
this
Philip the First
bit where we're taking my Newman race car up the Sonoma racetrack, and then I'm going to drive it, and we're going to compare my time to Paul Newman's time.
Beautiful. Nice.
On the same track, of course, 30 years later. Yeah.
Wow.
30 years later. So that ought to be interesting. So I'm getting the car prepared. And we'll get it out to Sonoma, and I'll get you guys caught up on how that worked out.
When's that?
I am going out there on August 1st, but the show won't air for a couple of months.
Sure.
So probably won't reveal what the times were or anything. But I'm going out. I'm going to fly out there with Jay, I think, on August 1st and just turn around and fly home.
Are you taking Southwest, Delta?
The you know, the thing, well, I gotta say, it's a little yeah, Jay's good. Last time I flew in his jet, he just said to the guy, cookies, and the guy's like, no, we're out of those cookies. He's like, all right. But sat down, read like a Car and Driver and a Rodent Track, and then fell asleep. Mm. But yeah,
the sheepish billionaire.
The thing that's weird when you get this kind of schedule is, you know, you go to D.C., there's going to be the testify in front of Congress, which is, you know, not, it's probably going to be 15 guys there, whatever. It's not, you know, Mr. Carolla goes to Washington, but.
I'm hoping to watch C-SPAN that day.
But
I'll be tuning in. I'll be looking up what channel C-SPAN is, and then I'll be tuning in.
Get to D.C., you know, Wednesday night, leave Thursday morning. You know, go to Sonoma, fly in the morning, fly out that afternoon.
Fresh as a daisy.
Yep.
It's just that part where you can't really hang out and enjoy. Yeah. It's the part when everyone says to me, oh, when are you going to have enough money? And I say, when I can start living like my wife and kids, then I'll have enough. And everyone laughs. But I'm being serious, which is if they go to Sonoma, they go, hey, we're in Sonoma. We're going to spend a few days here. We're going to see the sights. We're going to do. When they go to Vegas, they go, hey, we're enjoying this. We're going to tack on another day. Like
I have a Mangria something. I can't hear you.
Right. So that's kind of.
Go to the pool.
It's great, but you don't really smell the roses, so to speak. Yeah. But you get to go on the Sonoma racetrack with Paul Newman's race car. So that'll be fun. Yes. All right. So I saw. Here's a kind of a bad sign. I saw somebody tweeted me a PSA, and it was a PSA about safety and safety on the road and blah, blah, blah. And I thought to myself, huh, it kind of makes sense. Like, I could see this moving the needle. The PSA
is from Canada.
You're on the right. You're on the right track. Further away, but you're on the right track. Okay. See, every PSA I could remember. When I was doing Loveline, of course, it was airplane turbulence and third-hand smoke. And it was like just nothing. Once in a while, be like water, you know, like, hi, I'm Peter Graves. You know, it's dangerous out on those waters. And when you're water skiing, always make sure you have a flag and a life jacket. And it's like water skiing, okay. Safety tips. Like, what is going on that the 200 million, I'm trying to think, like batting average. Okay, here's your batting average. PSAs you've actually gotten jack shit from, like just something from a PSI. Where you kind of went, oh, hey, good to know, or, oh, I had no idea. Like every once in a while, there's something that's sort of counterintuitive, but it still means it's a piece of information and it'll work.
It could change your behavior.
Right. PSAs that have changed your behavior, mm-hmm. backup beepers on trucks mm-hmm. and vans and street sweepers and garbage trucks and cube trucks, you know, that you've moved mm-hmm. for.
Versus been annoyed by.
Versus being on the second floor of a house and trying to mm-hmm. take a nap while you're hearing it out on the street. All right, so PSAs you've actually used or gotten some piece of information from, backup beepers where you heard it and you went, oh, and you stepped up
Save
or
life.
Out of the way or just got out of the way. Or even if it was 30 feet away and you went, oh, I better move it over here. Or traffic reports where you caught it in advance and went, I'm now getting off of the 405 at the Slauson Exchange. Yeah. I'm going to drive around this thing because I heard about this impending mess that was coming up via the AM radio. So for me, I'm just kind of 0-4. Mm-hmm. Like the traffic reports, I've heard 271,000 and I've used 4.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. And the 4 that we've heard, it's not like, oh boy, better take this alternate route. It's just, oh great, I guess the traffic's
Everyone else
suck.
Is getting off on Sepulveda too. Yeah, but all right, I can say something. 4.
Yeah, it doesn't change your behavior, just kind of, you
know, out of the 274,000. The backup beeps into the millions. It's not, you can't over. Quantify that. It's over and then millions. And then there's the PSAs. Now it's a lot of talk to your kids, read to your kids, just sort of nothing with your kids. Mm-hmm. There's another one where there's some guy's a wrestler and he's got his little girl and they're playing
Roman Reigns
spout and whatever it is. And I
confusing
I
PSA because the mail carrier is like, ooh, like she's, I'm not quite sure what her reaction
weird,
is supposed to be.
Yeah, it's a weird PSA. The mail woman comes up the stairs and is like, is a child being molested? And then no, it's a giant man with a tribal tattoo and he's talking to his little daughter in an unfurnished house.
moved.
It's where if you abducted somebody, you'd find something that was on the market and not inhabited and go there and
like
rape them.
House.
Right. And then the airplane turbulence and fifth-hand smoke and just all the other stuff. And, hey, you know, the rhino saying I'm not medicine and the human trafficking. It's just all the nonsense. Just I don't know what to do with it. Makes no. But in a world where you could inflate your tires to the right pressure and save millions of gallons of fuel throughout the nation and stop the Ford Explorers from having a blowout and rolling over, and tires properly maintained it's 60,000 miles versus 19,000 miles if you don't, whatever. So whatever the vulcanized rubber, whatever the energy it takes to take them and melt them down and recycle them, whatever, and just the fuel. I mean, everybody driving around on tires that aren't properly inflated, you can dump 10% from your fuel economy times every single person on the road. Doesn't that add up to
this
something?
Be a good message to get out.
It makes sense. Not sexy. Tire pressure, not sexy.
I know, but I don't know.
Chrissy Teigen brings you.
Yeah, right. There you
your tires.
What's sexy about talk to your kids, read to your kids? Yeah. I don't know what any of this shit is for. None of it ever makes any sense to me. And it either falls under the heading of totally redundant, which is click it or ticket or airplane turbulence. Airplane turbulence is, this is a cigar tube where they tell you to put your seatbelt on 1,300 times.
And
like
the
there's
ding,
plaques
yep,
and dings yep, and everything. Yep. So there's no way you could just wander onto a flight and just totally space on your seatbelt.
Yeah.
So and your
what
car
are these canvas things
right
so on either side of me.
Your car does the same. The airplane does the same. So that's null and void. Get rid of those. Then there's the talk to your kid, which is like, either your parent who's going to talk to the kid and into your kid, or you're not.
Yeah.
The little 30-second whatever is not going to do anything.
How much behavior is that changing?
Nothing.
Very little.
None. So it's all nothing. But then somebody tweeted me a PSA, and I went, oh, well, this is something. Mm-hmm. And it could save a few lives and have a positive impact. So they sent me, I'll play, it's 40 seconds.
Must be fresh out of California.
It's footage of folks just sort of texting and bumping into each other by mistake.
Walking into bus stops because they're looking down.
Into a pond.
Yeah, and it's real footage.
Yeah, no, these are surveillance footage.
Oh, he's going to eat it. Yeah,
footage, right.
Down the stairs.
There's one.
Ooh. Into the door.
There's one I couldn't Last tell door. After this one. I couldn't tell what was going on.
I missed it.
I missed that one, too.
I watched that one 9 times, and I couldn't tell what it was. Like a couple, but anyway, now a woman's driving.
My God.
How many times?
Nine times.
Ooh, that was
texting and driving and got hit very badly.
There's blood splatter on the
gets in a very bad wreck.
So why do you text and drive, it says. Hashtag it can wait.
All right. And I thought, I went,
that makes a lot of sense.
This one makes sense. Effective. And I also kind of thought about it. Like, yeah, if you can't walk and do this, how can you operate a 5,000-pound vehicle and do this? And then I thought,
nah, this seems too smart. Like, we're fucking rock dumb in California, but we're dumb just throughout the United States. And this actually means something.
Right.
This is actually something. It's, yeah, we just saw a young girl possibly lose her life. We just saw a lot of actual footage of people banging into things and running into each other
because
they were
themselves.
Distracted. And then I thought, this makes sense. And we don't do PSAs that make sense. So how did this one sneak through? Mm. And so I do what I always do, whether it's Matt in his tennis shoes or whatever it is. I just think since all I do is profile, I go, this PSA is smart and could potentially be effective. Mm-hmm. And we're fucking dumb and no PSA is ever mm-hmm. effective. So
can't be from here.
What are we doing? Mm. And it was like, I was like, all right, well, it can't be from California. Definitely can't be from, it's got to be from Montana or something. South Africa. How much further could you get away
yeah.
than South Africa?
Not much.
And it's sad that I even had to go investigate mm-hmm. as I knew this wasn't put out. And I think your first impulse is like, well, it's from here or from the United States. Mm. Now, no. South Africa. Why is everybody smarter than we are? In these matters,
it's
what is it with California especially? Like, why are we so fucking dumb?
Yeah, we can't get out of our own way. You know what I mean? Like, we're smart. We have Silicon Valley and you know, all the tech and everything, but we can't get out of our way and just do smart things. Act smart. Smartly.
My theory.
Smartish.
My theory that has been posed before, but I'm really starting to buy into it, that we do this like when a person was rich and now they're poor, like they've lost it all. They've lost all their wealth. They will like intentionally go get a $100 manicure just to kind of say to the world, how can I be poor?
Sure.
I just want, how can we have problems? These are PSAs. We don't have problems. Look at this. We're talking about nothing.
We're keeping up with the Joneses. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. We have real serious problems that we don't even, there's nothing to do with how bad our schools are failing. Like you never get that one. You just get, where's the homeless stuff? Like it's never
homeless.
That. It's just
I don't know what that is. Yeah.
Talk to your kids. All right.
That's a very good point.
Speaking of smart, 23andMe, we got our kits here.
Yes.
Holding mine right now.
Very
the genetic service that provides reports about where your DNA comes from. Explore what percentage of your DNA comes from Italy, Finland, East Asia, Africa, wherever.
They send you step-by-step instructions, a saliva cup, a return bag, and a return paid for postage. So all you do is just drop it.
Drop the kit
in. Whole thing in the mail.
You can order your DNA kit for a chance to win a trip to explore your connection to the world, valued at up to $20,000. 5 nights, round-trip airfare for the winner and guests, and includes spending money. So to enter, visit 23andme.com. That's 23andme.com. Check it out. We're going to do it here, mm-hmm. and you guys do it there. We'll find out where we're all from.
We'll share the results.
23andMe, Dawson.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 or older. Ends August 3rd. Must complete the 23andMe service. Visit 23andme.com/rules for free entry.
Yep.
You were talking about planes earlier and it with Jay, and it just reminded me of something that I've gotten so into lately, and I was wondering if you knew about this because I didn't. At the Tonys this year, you know, for everything that's up for Best Musical, and you get to see a little bit and they talk about it. There's a musical called Come From Away, and I had never heard this story before. The whole story is about 38 planes that were in the air during 9/11 had nowhere to land, so they all landed in Newfoundland.
Really?
And a town in Newfoundland wow. that was 9,000 people doubled in size overnight. And it's the story of these now,
it
you know,
couldn't be all the planes that were in the air.
Well, the planes that were closest to Newfoundland.
Yeah, yeah, that could make it, right.
So, exactly. So 38 planes landed, mm-hmm. carrying roughly like 8,000 people total,
mm-hmm.
and basically doubled the size of this town. And the story, the true story of the town coming together, trying to get all these people places to stay, the interaction in between these people. Unfortunately, yeah. yes. Mm-hmm. But the interaction between these people and how they stayed in, you know, the VA the halls and the cafeterias. And I cannot believe I did not ever hear that story before.
Never heard it either.
So I started looking it up. And of course, now that it's a big Broadway musical, now people are referencing it. But I was shocked.
My God, they must have all landed without the knowledge. In 2001, there was no in-flight internet.
There's a song about that. But they keep they kept them on the ground in the plane for 12 hours, 13 hours, wouldn't let them out, wouldn't tell them what's going on. They didn't know. And just the intense craziness of being trapped on this plane, rerouted to Newfoundland, and then being ushered off in the middle of the night, bring your pillow, bring your blanket, leave everything else, and sleeping on cots for 5 days in these cafeterias and gyms.
Before smartphones. I'm doing the reference.
Almost nobody had a cell phone.
They had no idea probably what was going on.
It was fascinating. And one of the women they feature was apparently the first female pilot ever in American Airlines. So it's their plane that is sort of spotlighted. It just blew me away. I had never heard of it.
When are the Tonys?
Last month.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, it's very interesting.
Dude. Don't act like that.
You pass the test.
You pass.
All right. We got a phone call up here. Wants to know about scattering ashes.
I like that one.
Hey, Carrie, 37, Phoenix.
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Not much. I love the show. Love all of you guys. Huge fan.
Thanks.
So my question is, I would like help finding a place in the L.A. area to spread part of my dad's ashes.
Mm. How about my swimming pool? you don't want to do the whole at-sea thing, but you still want that sort of aquatic flavor with a little slice of C-list Hollywood.
Right. You get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Why L.A.?
Yeah. What's his connection?
Okay. So long story short, my mother and my two sisters and I are going on a train trip from Seattle to L.A. in October, and it's supposed to be a really beautiful route, and I thought along the way we could take some of his ashes and spread them in kind of cool places that we visit.
Is this a new thing, the some of the ashes?
My mom did that.
Some of the ashes.
Like a little here, a little there.
So it's not a new thing, or it is a new thing.
That was 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
I feel like it used to just be, it was a one dump jump.
As opposed to a two-pump jump?
Yeah, now it's taking them all over the place.
Yeah, or keeping it at home.
Feels a little disjointed. Also, I know we're supposed to do it in front of his favorite fishing hole and that kind of stuff, but I'd like to be dumped somewhere I'd never been.
Cross it off add it to your bucket
list. One last bucket list.
Yeah. All right, so you're going from Phoenix. Sorry, you're in Phoenix. You're going from Seattle to L.A.
Yes.
And you want to spread those ashes.
So my mom for Christmas had, I don't know if you guys have seen the blown glass where people take the ashes and they put some of the ashes and mix it in blown glass. And then they make these little kind of pebbles. So they're like these little glass stones that you can kind of leave in places. So that's kind of what I want to do. So my sisters and I all have them. And I thought this might be a perfect chance to leave it somewhere cool that he hadn't been, or just somewhere.
Well, tell us about your dad. How big are these little glass stones? A marble size?
Maybe the size of a quarter. They're just quarter. Like a little, river rock.
Was your dad, what kind of guy was he?
My dad was awesome. He was a history buff. I don't know, that probably won't help, but he did kind of like campy movies. He loved Tremors. I remember watching
film.
Elvira as a kid.
Right.
Mistress of the Night. Stuff like that.
Yeah, all right. I got some thoughts. Because your dad, he likes history, and he also likes, he's a film buff. And these things are quarter-size glass balls, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
All right. You know what a wrist rocket is?
I do.
Yeah, nice. The ultimate slingshot with the surgical tubing and everything. I would like you to fire one at the clicketer ticket light up sign and have it go off like the natural.
Yeah.
Fourth of July.
Play the theme music and stuff, because he's a history guy. Probably doesn't like big government and overreach and the man and all that kind of stuff.
Circle the bases as the sparks are falling amongst you.
He loves a good
then
good finale.
I would take another one with the same wrist rocket and I would just fire it at the Hollywood sign.
Okay.
You can probably shoot that thing a good eighth of a mile. You get the right trajectory and pull it back.
Dad's old house.
Yeah. For posterity, I would fire one into the ooze at the La Brea Tar Pits. That way, he would just be there forever. Be there forever.
Wilshire and Fairfax. Can't miss it.
If it ever gets fished out, they'll think it's like prehistoric.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Dino droppings. I have an idea based on this idea, piggybacking on your idea. My first thought was, he likes history, and this this very L.A., go to the end of the Santa Monica Pier, because that's where Route 66 ends, right? Like, that's the end. Go there, chuck one off. That's as far as you can go, you know, out here in California. Just chuck it off the end of the pier and let them live with the fishes.
Titanic style.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they don't appreciate people digging into the ground, but you could stealthily go to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery where Mel Blanc and Cecil B. DeMille and all those guys are buried and just kind of tuck it under the ground. I think she's left.
Very cool.
Okay.
Carrie.
Writing it down.
Writing everything down.
I'm writing these down.
All right. Well, I'm glad you loved your dad so much.
I do.
That's a good, it's a good thing. Much. And it'll probably make you a good mom and a good wife and a good everything else, right?
I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah, when women love their dads, it's a lot easier on the living. When they love their deceased dads, it's better on the living.
Yep, that's right. Better for those of us left behind.
Those with penises who are alive. It's the way he would have wanted it, Carrie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Good luck. All right, let's see. An Amazon employee leadership principles. Jeff.
Yes.
42. What's going on? Seattle.
Seattle, that's right. Beautiful Seattle. So, I work at Amazon, and one of the things that we have up here that every employee is expected to follow these 14 leadership principles that that they've crafted. And every employee, when they go and go through the interview process, we go to find people that live up to these leadership principles. And I think you would probably resonate with probably not if most of them, if not all of them, and you might want to institute them over there at Corolla Digital.
Well, do you have them?
I thought I might read you a couple.
Yeah, I'd love it. And can I just say one, and it's so no shit versus no duh. Or as my sister once said, no shit, Dick Tracy. I think she was shooting for Sherlock.
Yeah.
But either way, just being always on time or a minute or two early, it's really about half of employment. Mm-hmm. It just is. And it's not really about time. I have guys, you know, if you're showing up at the house at 8, they just show up at 7:57. And then there are other guys who just show up at 8:08. Mm-hmm. They just do this time or they just do that time. And every single time when they knock on the door in the morning, I know exactly who's on the other side of the door because I don't know. There's no difference. It's literally just a sort of way of life that you're putting out into the cosmos, which is what time's call time? 8. Good. I'll see you just a little bit after that. And the other person, you go, what time's call time? 8. Good. I'll see you just a couple minutes before that. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It's really, when you take the time, it's not the time.
It's 7 minutes.
It's 7 minutes one way or the other. It's no difference. It's all just a sort of approach and attitude. But go ahead, Jeff. Let's see if we can implement some of these.
We don't have
these.
A punctuality one, but one of them is insist on the highest standards. Leaders have relentlessly high standards. Many people think these standards are reasonably high. Leaders are continually raising the bar and driving their teams to deliver high-quality products, services, and processes.
It would have been so much easier if you just said, do Adam's best.
Yeah. No, this is for...
That's why I started with
it. Is this for people being...
ownership?
Jeff, is this for people being hired into, like, you know, manager or director positions, or is this like everybody has to, you know...
Company policy.
...adhere to these?
Anybody who's a salaried employee. So there's, you know, we have a bunch of part-time employees in the fulfillment centers. And
a very ironic test to give to like an intern.
Right.
A boxer.
So we would give it to, interns and brand new college hires. You know, there's different expectations for how well you live up to these and you're expected to grow with them. But, but he gets...
So far, this one's not moved my needle because the sort of excellence or demand excellence, I don't really know what that means exactly. I'd like everyone to... It
sounds great.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to go with what you got.
Yeah, no, I it's like you either get it done or you don't get it done. Mm-hmm. I don't really have like a demand excellence. Mm-hmm. It's just a sort of, let's see. Jeff, go ahead.
One of them is deliver results. Like you're supposed to be able to deliver results.
Yes.
You're supposed to be right a lot. You're supposed to be learning, be curious, invent and simplify, earn trust of others, customer obsession. These are all... ones that everybody's expected to lead up, and you're judged on it as part of your review process on how well you're living up to these things.
Yeah, I like it. Any more?
Yeah, sure. Think big. You're expected to go beyond kind of just what you're expected to do kind of on a day-to-day basis. When you come up with a solution, you're expected to think about big solutions. Hire and develop the best. We hire the best. You're expected to help mentor others and bring them up. Customer obsession, everything we do at Amazon is based upon what the customer wants.
How long have you been at Amazon? All right. How long have you been there, Jeff?
4 years.
4 years. How do you like it?
I love it. I love it. Moved up from San Diego to enjoy the grayness of Seattle.
What do you love most about the environment?
Amazon itself?
Yeah.
One of the things is that they actually have these kind of guiding principles that they live by, and it's not just kind of lip service of how you operate, but also just that we're pushing the boundaries of everything that we do. I mean, whether it's the .com site, whether it's AWS, whether it's now we have a store where you don't even have cash registers. You just walk in, scan your phone, pick something off the shelf, and walk out, and it automatically charges you.
Amazon Films, they're diversifying. Everything.
Prime Now, you get it in an hour.
Yeah. I was saying, God, I think we were talking about, Mike August was telling me how Kirkland from Costco, they're going to have a Kirkland car.
Yeah. We were talking about that on the way down to, right? The RV ride.
Right.
To Vegas.
Now, if anyone's been to Kirkland, Washington, 20 minutes outside of Seattle, I was saying with Garrigus on stage the other week, they should have a Kirkland. Other cities should be able to buy a Kirkland.
Their own.
Yes, because you know what Kirkland would be like if you dragged it out to South Central or Van Nuys or something? It would be a
shining beacon.
Utopia compared to what they got over there. Kirkland, that's the final step. You know, hey, it's great. You start with cashews. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You eventually get to cars. Mm-hmm. Now, let's get to Kirkland.
Yeah, you thought insurance and eyeglasses were a big step.
Hey, Jeff?
Yeah.
I love Amazon, too. I love, it's fun to go on and read the reviews and the ratings and the systems. And we're looking at Costco Kirkland Chevy truck right now. It is, very Orwellian, but, I would be behind the Kirkland idea. I'm glad you're enjoying yourself over there.
Yeah. It's, I expect to be here for a long time and, we appreciate all the business you're driving us from pushing people through the Adam Carolla website.
Well, that was one of the first things we figured out, although it took a while, and it's a very interesting part this life, and you know, Amazon's doing it, and everyone has to evolve, and everyone has to whatever. You know, I always tell people I'm not smarter, I'm not funnier, I'm not anything. It's just before things existed, you didn't know. We would do a podcast and we'd say, "How do you make money doing a podcast?" And I don't know.
Let you know what happens.
It doesn't exist. Nobody knows. And then at a certain point, we found out that if people just bookmarked us at Amazon and clicked through Amazon and bought their garden hoses or their books or whatever through our website, then Amazon would kick a couple percentage points, and that became the first piece of income that made this whole thing sort of viable and sustainable. That was the first piece of income we ever had was from Amazon.
Yeah, and to think it was just a bookseller.
Yeah.
And nothing else.
And what happened, Jeff, there was a lot of talk about we're going to shut it down in California because they're not paying taxes. Right. And there's a lot of not paying taxes and shut down in cities where the blah, blah, blah. And it was all everything, and then it just went away.
Now they just add the tax.
Any updates?
No, I don't have any visibility of that side of the house. But one interesting thing about that is in the trying to avoid paying sales tax, one of the things that determined whether we had to charge sales tax was whether we had a corporate office in that state.
Right.
And so there were certain states that if you traveled as an employee, that you were not allowed to even log in from your computer from that location because it might be considered you're working out of that state, and we now have to start charging sales tax.
Thanks, Jeff.
But I think now we have to charge sales tax from everywhere, so it's not a problem anymore.
It's making me think. I'll tell you a story from when I was in Irwindale at the racetrack, and it was 5,000 degrees.
Brisk, chilly Irwindale.
Two weeks ago, wearing a cardigan and slacks. And so you couldn't be hotter. And it was so hot, and there was so much just sort of asphalt blacktop in between where the trailer was and down in the bowl where the track was, where we were shooting and stuff. It was so oppressively hot that you couldn't even really walk anywhere. You just couldn't walk more than 100 feet. You'd have to get in a van and turn the air conditioning on or get where you're going pretty fast, and walking wasn't going to do it. And so this is back to my rules and what are we doing? And you see what happens with everything as I think about taxes. You know, it's like whenever you start charging, whenever there's money involved, then there's going to be people trying to avoid and evade. And then you're going to create basically a system where, you know, whomever has any kind of business with any kind of locations is just going to have to do, again, Bryan Cranston, the nicest, most liberal guy in the world, who probably one of the only guys in the world who enjoys paying taxes, mm-hmm. was driven by me to the airport to leave on a Southwest flight to go to New Mexico to do 5 seasons of Breaking Bad. So if they will do it, who will not mm-hmm. do it? You know what I mean? Like, you picture Donald Trump and his golfing buddies trying to rip off the system, but you don't picture Bryan Cranston,
right,
or anyone in the entire creative crew of Breaking Bad. But sure enough, they left Riverside, yep. and they went to New Mexico, yep. to save a few bucks. So is it something bad people do? No, it's something
it's reality
people do. And I'll tell you that what happened and what can happen. And a story I was going to tell you from Irwindale. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. Take precautions every day. Oh, you do. You have a phone, put a case around it. Identity theft protection. What about your home and family? Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. Simply Safe. Sorry, no hassle. Just order it online, completely wireless. Comes pre-programmed to work right out of the box. You install it yourself. Under an hour. No activation fees, no holes in the wall, no exposed wires. Round the clock professional monitoring with emergency dispatch, only $14.99. No long-term lock-in contracts. Easy. Go to simplysafeadam.com. Get 10% off when you order today. That's Simply, S-I-M-P-L-I, Simply Safe Adam. Get 10% off. Simplysafeadam.com, 10% off. Great, great business. All right.
Irwindale,
standing in the infield with Matt DeAndrea, the guy I do CarCast with, and he was like, oh, God. And I was like, what? And we're talking to Ken Block. Ken Block is the guy who does those crazy Gymkhana videos that have 500 million downloads. You guys probably haven't seen these things, but they get like, I don't know. How many downloads are those?
I'll look it up. I've seen them all. They're amazing.
I kind of like to see San Francisco. He told me that was his favorite. He does crazy rally stunt driving, spinning around through L.A. When you see the videos, you'll go, oh, yeah, somebody sent me that. All right, I saw it. But they
total series views says here well over 300 million. I'm pulling up San Francisco.
Cool guy. Grew up out here. Drove rallies. And still drives rallies, races, and then decided, well, I'll do these really cool videos where I spin my car around and do all these crazy things. So I was hanging out with him. I was talking to him and his manager, and Matt DeAndrea said, Jesus Christ, what happened? He left the trailer, and a golf cart with just one guy hit it was going by him. And he said, oh, hey, can I get a ride into the infield on the 117-degree day? And the guy's like, I can't. You can't ride in the golf cart. I can ride in the golf cart. I can't transport people in the golf cart. And I was like, oh. And as soon as Matt was telling me this, Ken Block's agent piped up and went, I had the exact same thing happening. I was trying to get back to the trailer, and there was a golf cart with four seats in it. And I said, can I? And I said, the guy said, I can't drive you in it. Because of Teamsters.
Oh
my God.
Because we have to have some guy with a 17 IQ getting 87.50 in golden time in a van sitting in air conditioning, and only he can drive you back and forth to the trailer, not the golf cart, because it's a union thing.
It's not the,
And somebody's going to get into trouble. And this is what I'm saying. It started off as, hey, we should have a union and Teamsters, and these guys should get some benefits. And everyone went, yeah, it's a good idea. Now it's turned to, these guys sit in these vans all day. They just run all day. Like, especially when it's hot outside.
Sure.
It is, they're doing the least amount of work of anybody in the city. They're just, everyone's like, the camera guys out there pushing dollies and they have towels on their heads and stuff like that. The camera guys are the hardest working guys. Teamsters guys just sitting in the van, vans running.
There's a few San Franciscos. I think this might be the most popular one.
And, oh, we'll just take a look at a couple seconds of Ken Block going nutty in San Francisco. He's got to shut the town down, by the way, in order to drive the car. So that's what we've become. We've become folks that can't drive people in golf carts. Not on the street, by the way, in a parking lot.
Where you're going to have a bigger problem if that guy collapses because of heat exhaustion.
Yeah. So Ken's a super smart, innovative dude. He just decided to take this little niche sport of rally driving and turn it into these crazy videos.
Wow, he is on the Bay Bridge.
The Bay Bridge.
And he's shut down. This must be incredibly expensive.
They pull the permits. They get the town shut down.
Wow.
He drives through the...
he's driving Oakland.
Sausalito? No, not Sausalito. Sausalito
to San Fran.
And he said it was his favorite. He says his favorite one because he got to jump because of the streets of San Francisco and because of the depth and the... Now he'll start doing some crazy...
Oh,
things.
My God, he's drifting.
He's drifting. I know this is good pod, but you guys should check it out. The guy's a totally cool guy.
We'll invite the video on adamcarolla.com.
Yeah.
The second most impressive thing we're watching is the stunt driving. The first is all the streets that are shut down in downtown San Francisco.
So many pissed off people.
Oh, my God.
Please tell me he does Lombard Street.
I think he does Lombard Street.
He does it at 8 miles an hour.
I want to see him. Yeah, he's done him in L.A.
Wow.
He's done him in San Francisco.
And clearly this is not the kind of Ford Fiesta we'd be buying in a store, but this is a Ford Fiesta?
Yeah,
or Festiva? Ford, or
yeah, Fiesta? With 700 horsepower and all-wheel drive.
Like tiny.
People get really confused with the makes of the cars. He's going through two cable. He's circling around cable car.
He's intimidating two cable cars.
Yeah. Well. Anyway,
he's not hurting them.
We get it.
Yeah.
He's hurting cable cars. Yeah.
That was insane.
Yeah. Fun guy to talk cars with.
Can't get a ride on a golf cart.
But can't get a ride on a golf cart.
Well, they know what he'll do.
And the guy who's driving the golf cart doesn't want to get into trouble. And again, on private property, off the streets, just he's going to get into trouble. And that's what we've created, and somehow we've decided this is a good idea.
It's a sad step.
I don't like that idea. All right, let's see. boxing, and then a thing, and then we'll get into some news. Oh, yeah, we got the results on our. We got a couple results to give. We got the pubic hair one, and we have Drew and his narcissism test. The whole staff took it. I'm interested in this. Jamie,
hey, Ace Man.
37, San Diego.
I've been listening to you for about 4 years, and I heard you talking about your boxing class just a couple of days ago, and it dawned on me that I've never heard the story about how and when you got into boxing. You had a shitty childhood, and you played high school football, and you rode some unicycles, and then smash cut, you're a boxing instructor. So I was just hoping you'd connect those dots for us.
I always liked boxing, and I thought it was something I could do. And so when I was like 19, I joined this Montoya gym for like $9 a month that was behind the Olympic gym in L.A. I just had nothing to do. I rode my motorcycle down there and would just work out for 2 hours. And it was like this really dingy – it was like a crazy place. Like it had a big folding table – with all the waters on it. This is before everyone with their bottled water and everything. These were milk containers, like quart plastic milk containers, and Sunny D bottles. And there was just like a dozen of them. And they'd just be topped off, like from the sink. And everyone would pick them up and, you know, dump them. You know, you wouldn't put your lips around it. Just kind of dump it in your mouth. And then you'd set it back down. And you would, when you would spar, when the guy was done sparring in front of you, he'd take the headgear off, like the leather headgear off, and they'd go, all right, and he'd just put it on you and cinch it down. Same with the gloves, because, you know, headgear, that, you know, headgear was $41. Like, that was, I didn't, when I was 19, I was a princely sum, gloves and all that kind of stuff, but that was about it. And then I just stayed with it. And at a certain point, teaching boxing became a job because this white collar boxing thing came around 10 years later.
And
it was like, oh, I could do this. And it was anything not to do construction, like anything just to work.
Yeah, you're inside working out, air conditioned.
Yeah, where like you could talk to people and have a little audience, you know, and I just, it was fun. Like it was an easy, I got paid $20 a class. I didn't really make any money, but after doing construction in the heat with all the guys that couldn't speak English and worse, the guys that could, now you had to talk to. We're going to get a new, pipe for my jet ski. We're going to the lake. That's all we would talk about. And
Angel, you're like, careful what you wish for.
Right.
You want to talk to the guy.
So now I got to like talk to people, and I had a guy who was a commercial airline pilot, a guy who was editor in chief of the Los Angeles Times, and I had these cool guys in my class, and I'm like, oh, we'd be talking to like professional dudes. I never met a guy that was a captain for Delta Airlines or a guy who ran a newspaper. Like these are all crazy. Like I never had a conversation with anybody who did anything.
And I'm thinking about it now, like boxing coach / trainer / whatever, yoga instructor, whatever that is kind of one of those rare blue collar things. Like you couldn't have access to those types of people and have a conversation like that if you're a waiter, you know what I mean? Or if you're maybe a bartender, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
no.
It's one of those few jobs where
you're
have
right. No, we would
access.
We'd go out for lunch on a Saturday. Like they wanted to hang out. I want to hang out. It was the first time I kind of realized I'm sort of like these people. I'm not, I thought I was with the Rays and my parents and all the idiots who grew up in the Valley. I was like, I think I have more in common with these guys. Yeah. And also they would say like, they would laugh and go, oh, that's smart. You should write that down. That's a good one. Is that yours or something? I'd go, yeah, it is. I go, well, that's a good one. And I go, well, the smart person is validating me, which I'd never had that.
It's your first audience.
Have a smart person or someone validating.
Right. So
that's two things.
I just kind of quickly realized, like, I think I should hang out with these people more than my crew.
Did you have history? Did you have like a Mickey, like a mentor?
Oh,
Lloyd Floyd.
And women weak in knees.
No,
Mickey loves ya.
I didn't have. I had a guy named Bruce, and Bruce basically just said, "If you build the gym in Pasadena, I'll let you teach there." So I built him a gym.
What a sweet deal. Bruce was a savvy yeah. Operator.
Oh, so you didn't.
I was desperate, so I did, and then I got to teach him. But I taught like 5 classes a week at $20 a class, and then I had a couple of privates that I just charged $20 for, too. So I really wasn't making that much money. But it led me to Jimmy, it led me to K-Rock, and it just sort of led me out of the blue-collar world. I guess you guys can sort of think about this. Like you go to a restaurant and you see like what's going on in the kitchen, people coming by holding like racks of things, or you're driving in your car and it's like air conditioned. You see the guys by the side of the road with the jackhammer, or you go down the airport and you see the guys out on the tarmac, like dragging luggage around or something. When you're on that side of the glass, it's very isolated and it's kind of lonesome, and you just sort of walk around like it's like you feel like that hot chick in Cool Hand Luke who's like washing the car and all the inmates are just looking at her. You're just like an inmate.
Hoping that button will break.
You're just like an inmate at a women's prison, and Chelsea Handler comes in to do a set, and you're just sitting there like looking at her, like, I bet she goes home. I bet she has air conditioning. I bet she's got one of those refrigerators that's like 4 foot wide.
Yeah.
2 TVs and a remote.
Right. Probably got cooling and heating in her seats in her car. Like, you sit on this side of the glass of life, and you just watch people, and it's like, they're pulling out their credit cards, or they're you know I would go to their house to do some work on their house, and you look and you see pictures of them on a ski vacation with their family, or now they're in Hawaii in the next picture, and you just sort of get back into your truck where the crank is busted on the window, and you just go, I guess there's them, and then there's us. We're over here. We're the people. You kind of don't acknowledge. Like I said, you go to a restaurant. You're aware that there's some noise coming from the kitchen, but you don't really go, I really want to investigate.
Yeah.
And the guys, you know, at the end of the night, first off, a lot of that stuff, like by the time you're done with your shift, you're like hosing yourself off. Mm-hmm. Like you've sweated through your shirt and you know, we used to clean carpet and stuff. And it'd be like, we'd show up while everyone was leaving the restaurant. We have to wait for them to clear out. And then mm-hmm. we'd come in and lock the door and we'd sweat. And you'd smell and it's that kind of thing where it's like, sometimes you see the bus boys riding their 10 speeds. Home, yeah. Not their yeah. own, they stole them, but riding a 10-speed home in the middle of the night, like if you're coming home on a Saturday night from a party, it's like 2 a.m. and you see the guy, and it's like that guy.
The black slacks, white, yeah, like dirty white button up.
You don't know, you've never had a conversation yeah. with that guy. It's just the sort of the haves and the have-nots. When you live in that world, all you do is really tell stories about the other world, and you
like,
have these...
Like, what must it be like?
Like, you have these things where it's like somebody calls, like, we would break into the Mulholland Club, and there'd be remnants of food from a bar mitzvah or a wedding or party, like, laid out with plates. We'd be picking stuff off it and kind of imagining what event took place here. Every once in a while, we knew a girl named Janie whose parents were rich, and they were in a country club, and it was like... some sort of Encino country club, and three times a year she'd bring us all in to hit the Sunday buffet where they had the guy with the omelet maker and the waffle maker, and we'd just be you'd show up and you'd see out front like a bunch of Mercedes parked out there, guy walking around in full tennis gear or full golf gear, setting the clubs down there, and you just look at it like a whole bag of golf clubs. I don't think those are rented. I think he owns those golf clubs. Where did he go? How much you pay for those things? Where do you even get them? Like, that's him. That's his life. And then some guy brings the clubs out, and you know, weird things like when he's done with the whole thing, he just signs for it and walks away. Like, where's the cash? They trust him. He's going to the bathroom. He may sneak out the window. Like. Just this weird, it's like you're born 100 years ago and you're looking at people in their horseless carriages and their modern, their flying bird, their steel birds and
majestic.
Whatever. And you're like, who are these people? What are they doing? And then they start telling you stories. You know,
matter of factly, too.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, I didn't study in Zurich the whole time, but I did 1 year.
Yeah, they'll slip
one
in.
Year in college, I went to Zurich, and I just, and it's everything so matter of fact. Like, you went to Zurich to study? How did that work? Sign up.
Yeah.
And they'll slip in, like, incidental details that to them are incidental, but to you are mind blowing. Like, oh, yeah, then, you know, that was the summer after I was in Japan. Like, what?
Right, yeah. Right.
They're
yeah,
not,
but
they're
then,
never like, I know, right?
Well, you can get a Euro rail pass and you can go all through Europe. I mean, but you should have 5 weeks. And it's
that was my semester at sea.
What? How does this work? What goes on? And so when you're on that side, like the construction side, especially because you're like building people these houses and it's who are like, I remember building a house in Malibu and like the couple's really attractive and the wife's really hot and they drive nice cars and you're kind of trying to be invisible, but you also kind of want to know what's going on with them and what maybe you could learn something. So the entire thing is about just sort of breaking through from being on that side of the glass and being up on the roof and doing all the work and side of the road, all the people you pass when you're driving and go, the guy in the car with the air conditioning and the platinum car is really not that much different than I am. It's just we come from totally different worlds. And whenever anyone talks about the socioeconomic inequalities and this, that, it's the information. That's the chasm. It's not this guy makes this much and that guy makes that much. It's this guy doesn't even know that this world exists. Mm-hmm. He sees it. Like when I was 19, I'd go to Ray's house. Apartment on Friday nights, we'd watch Dynasty. We just sit there going, now during the commercials, we would argue over who got to sit in the cab of the pickup truck and who had to ride in the bed of the pickup truck when we went to the job the next day because Chris was picking us up. But we would watch Dynasty and just watch, just marvel. You know what I mean? Like women with earrings want to know if they matched a gown and stuff like that. We just stare at it. Yeah.
Slapping each other inside a fountain.
When I found out that those guys and me weren't so far apart, it was revelatory.
I imagine it would be, especially growing up, you know, with that knowledge to that point. Yeah, it hadn't changed.
Yeah, and what they also do from losers like my parents is they feed you a steady diet of those guys are the enemy, they're bad, their job is to make a ton of money by ripping off indigenous people and then pay you as little as possible to come to their house and work on, and be a servant, essentially, to them. Don't listen to them. And by the way, if they do have money, it's either ill-gotten gain or it's just daddy's money.
Yeah.
Somebody gave it to them. They got lucky. Whatever.
They don't deserve
it. Time, right place. Yeah. Somebody died, left them that. They didn't earn that, you know. And then they'd pause and go, and you know they're miserable. And I'd go, wow.
Don't buy happiness.
They didn't look miserable.
I've seen a couple of those pictures of them skiing on vacation. They seem pretty happy to me. They're fine actors and actresses. But, yeah.
And I don't mean to add fuel to this fire, but when they say, you know, they didn't earn it, was your mom earning the food stamps?
In a weird way.
Okay.
In a weird way, she deserved them.
Right. She worked pretty hard at not working.
Yeah.
Okay. Got
it. Calorie burner. Yes.
I know you're getting onto this, Reed, but I love this idea that the blue-collar job where we have the window into the other world, the other life. Like, I never thought about it in those terms, but my version was in high school, my job, my after-school job, worked at a grocery store for 2 years. I was a bagger. You know, just the guy that bagged groceries. But it was like a Bristol Farms kind of store. I don't know if it's a nationwide chain, but it was a small high-end store. And so the part of my job was to, you know, help ladies or whoever, you know, needed the help out to their car with groceries. And I'm, you know, a teenager making probably minimum wage at the time, $6-7 an hour. And I would help, you know, help their groceries, man. Yes, please. I'll walk them out to their Mercedes or the Jaguar or their whatever, because, and it's like, oh yeah, you're rich. I forgot you shop here. You're rich and I'm helping you and I'm get to see you in your, in this whole.
They seemed like they're from a different planet.
Yeah.
And but
before that, we were just having a conversation. You know, we're just talking about whatever is, you know, whatever's going on in the world.
Now you see the whole time they've been looking down
on
you.
Exactly. Now I realize how you see me.
Yeah. So the biggest thing I would like for anybody who's on the other side of the glass is simple exposure to this. And it's why I go nuts when politicians go, I wish I could tell you the field was level, but it's not. Like, okay, now the guy on the other side of the glass just got further away from the air conditioning.
Give it up a little bit.
Well, you told him to give up. It's that guy, people in there with the credit cards and the air conditioning. Yeah, it's the field's not level. And guess who's sliding down the lower side of it? All right. Smart Mouth, man. Dual solution oral rinse. Only activated mouthwash clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent it from coming back for 12 full hours. Zinc ion technology. It binds to the bacteria, forcing it to stop producing sulfur gas. Dr. Drew loves this stuff because it's science, I tell you. Nothing ruins an intimate moment as quickly as a stanky breath. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Work all day. Whatever part of side of the glass you're on, stinky breath. Mm-hmm. Deal breaker, man. Don't have your mouth smell like wet garbage. Foul breath. It'll ruin a social situation. It'll sabotage a relationship, a career prospect. No. Smart Mouth. You go to smartmouth.com. Or you can find it wherever you shop. You get the Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS, wherever you shop. But let's be smart. Smart Mouth. SmartMouth.com. All right, one last thing, and then we got our couple of some business results to take care of. Mike, 42, Arizona.
Adam, thank you.
Yes, you have a question?
I do. So we launched a business about 2 years ago, and with that, we decided podcasting would be the way that we'd get the message out in the marketplace. The podcast launched in October of last year. We publish content weekly, and the audience isn't growing at the rate that I want it to grow. So I've got to be careful about, you know, I've got to be patient as I go through this and trust the process. But I'm also trying to figure out, how do I know whether or not we're on the right track, whether or not we're delivering the right message, whether or not this is the right thing to do? Like, what? You know, how did you know that the podcast was working when you guys first launched?
Well, we got good numbers initially, but again, it didn't really mean anything. It's sort of like having a refinery 5 years before the internal combustion engine is invented. Like, we had a lot of the surplus, but no place to sell it, nothing to do with it. I have never really been a big fan of plotting. I simply tune yourself in, have a feeling, go do it, and keep moving. Now, if it's not working, you can't dwell on it. You have to kind of move on reality's terms. But my thing is, if you want to do a podcast, and you should do a podcast, and if it's getting traction, that's great. If it's not, well, then you're just doing a podcast, which is something you wanted to do anyway. Now, if you're dumping a bunch of money into it and have investors and that kind of stuff, that's a different story.
But this doesn't really sound like a passion project, right? The podcast leg of this business venture? Sounds like just another outlet.
Yeah, I mean, passion from the standpoint of getting good information out into the marketplace, like good information for people. It's the basic stuff. It's a lot of the stuff you guys talk about, which is this idea of do good things well, good things will follow.
What is the product? Is there a product that this is associated with?
We're a sales consulting organization, so we build sales teams for startups. The product itself downstream will be a learning product for sales professionals, which will teach foundational skills, the basics, and then have some accountability metrics built in to help keep people on track. But as when we started this, I knew that I wouldn't blog, I wouldn't write things. So I knew that if I'm in front of a microphone, I can talk and I can share that message. So it became a way of documenting the message, getting the information captured, and then now we've got it captured and we can do different things with it.
Now this is interesting.
That's Huell Hauser from the grave. Mike, I wish I had. I don't. There's no.
These are the kind of questions you're going to get at the masterclass.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's true, and I will answer them. That's Irvine Improv. That is next Saturday. Next, right? August 5th, right? So here's this. I'm having this thought, which is public speaking used to be a top one or two phobia. Now that everybody is videotaping themselves, things like, remember when people would hate to hear their voice?
Yes.
On a phone machine.
My grandma
or something
wouldn't
like
speak
that.
On the home movies because she didn't like the way her voice sounded.
Right. Like, all this stuff. I don't know if this is going to be a phobia anymore. Like people good used to point. Be stage shy and really difficult. Like here, I guess here would be the yardstick. 40 years ago, if you asked your average maid of honor to deliver a speech at a wedding with 100 people, she'd be nervous as shit. Getting up, she'd be thinking. She'd probably be up in her head about it.
Rehearsing.
Probably have a couple of glasses of champagne to take the edge off. You'd see her holding the paper in her hand, kind of shaking a little bit. I don't think Natalia's going to have this problem.
If anyone's not,
nope, she'll not now.
So I don't think her friends are either. Like they're like Facebooking and chatting back and forth, and everyone's
putting
in front of
content.
Everything. And this thing of like this, what was the number one phobia? It's now just sort of part of everyone's technology in life.
Yep.
All right. So we have our pubic hair results, part two. They were sort of ambiguously worded before. So Gary will tell us how many people participate in this poll, Gary?
6,166, which is about 800 more, I believe, give or take, than the last one.
All right. What kind of pubic hair do men prefer on women? Completely shaven / waxed, 39%.
Wow.
Higher than I would have thought. Landing strip, 24%. Groomed with a natural look, 30%. Okay. That feels about right. And full bush.
Once again, in all caps.
7%.
We're going for consistency, Brian.
Where's our check mark? Don't we have a check mark?
Well, it's highlighted blue, so I'm guessing they voted.
No, the one that we voted for collectively.
The winning one.
And again, the completely shaven / waxed, there has to be, two things. There has to be some sort of Mason-Dixon line of guys over 40 or under 40 or over 35 or under 35. I can't believe that there's a bunch of 55-year-old guys who are going full shaved. It's just not part of the generation. The other thing is every once in a while you'll see a guy, he's got kind of a weak jawline, and he grows a beard, and he kind of shapes yep. it up.
Same thing.
Not all, and you know, boom. Brian, God bless Brian over here. He's got a good-looking bald head, but thank some you. Guys fully don't waxed. Have a good-looking bald head, yeah. and some gals don't have a good-looking bald vagine.
Lumpy.
That's got to be.
And the heads, too.
You gotta factor that in.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Well,
and I swear to God, I'm not being willfully obtuse here. I didn't know that vaginas look that different from each other. I figured they're what you see is what you get. That is untrue. From what I understand, a lot of different yeah. things oh, coming yeah. out, oh, things yeah. staying
it's
in.
Real horse shows.
Yes.
Shut up, Brian.
Well, basically what I'm saying is you should adopt the most flattering
hairstyle.
Right. Yep. Or lack thereof.
What God gave you.
Yeah. Another thing I was thinking about, trying to figure this one out. I realize, you know, women, all they do is whine about, oh, we have to sit down and you go to the bathroom, and you guys, you know.
It's all they whine about.
All they talk about. No, but when they have to take a whiz and we're on a road trip right. and you do that move where you just pull off onto the side road and you take a leak out,
see,
the whatever,
do it
women,
more than once.
Women hate that. Yeah. They know, oh, I wish I could do that. But I would say, remember, and no one ever really talks about the yin and the yang here. Guys, when you walk into the bathroom and we're sitting on the toilet, we're only doing one thing. And I was thinking about this, which is getting caught taking a leak. It's always embarrassing when you're in the bathroom and somebody comes walking in. I'm working on my house. I'm using like the kids' bathroom mm-hmm. and stuff like that. It's kind of like people are walking in.
Right.
Walking in, taking a leak is really a one and a half or two.
Yeah, another hero there.
There's almost. Not much there. Walking in, taking a dump is a ooh. Big deal. And
yeah.
for women, now here should be our next poll. When I walk in and a woman's on the toilet.
What kind of pubic hair would you like her to have?
I assume 100% of the time she's taking a leak. I never assume she's taking a dump. And obviously there's some tells. Mm-hmm. But But literally just like opening the door and seeing someone, you know, excuse you, yeah. and you shut the door.
That's
I'm
it.
Always assuming she's urinating. Statistically, that can't be right.
Right.
They have to be dropping a deuce at least 32% yeah. of the time.
Plausible deniability, though. I'm happy to believe.
When you walk in on a dude and he's sitting, it's 100%. Yep. Mm-hmm. And again, since peeing isn't a big deal, yeah. but dropping the deuce is.
More
and
offensive.
since we always assume you're taking a whiz. When you're sitting, you never really get that judgment. Mm-hmm.
That is a very good point. Very astute.
And I don't know, do guys, do you assume when you walk in on your wife or your girlfriend or whomever, whatever, your sister, I just assume they're taking a whiz. And maybe it's just because I like to think that way.
I think there's an enzyme my brain releases that's like, she's just peeing, she's just peeing, she's
right,
just peeing.
Right.
But what, yeah, like if I default to pee.
Right. So I would like to implement, and it'd be on the honor system. Which is, ladies, when you're dropping a deuce, you have to cross your feet.
Oh, you want to? You want to know?
It's only fair.
Well, that seems like
a,
wait.
It's a, you know when we're dropping a deuce. Why can't we know when you're dropping a deuce?
Can it at least be the other way around? Cross your feet when you're peeing, because I don't think that's a conducive way to sit.
Yeah. Very good point.
Thanks.
We'll work it out. Make it like the Hulk Hogan like pose. You know what I mean? Like
right.
Give him a little,
right.
I'm yeah. a real Hulk, American.
Yeah. And we want to know, though. And it's only fair that we know, because you guys know definitively. You know 100% that if you walk in, we're dropping a deuce, and that's embarrassing.
Yeah, that's all. Wow. It's not fair.
All right.
Competitive advantage.
Hey, mm-hmm. if that's the new rule, it literally only affects me, and you got it.
All right. Also, we took Dr. Drew's test, mm-hmm. his narcissism test.
We've heard about this since Loveline.
Yeah, I took it and got a pretty high score back in the day, and then Drew and I took it together just recently on our podcast, and I think he got a 6 and I got like a 12.
That's correct.
6?
He's full of shit,
that's
though.
That's impossible, isn't it?
I don't know if this would help set this up, but I have a short clip from this week's A&D where Drew kind of defines what narcissism is, at least in his eyes and in the eyes of this test.
Okay.
So narcissism is not necessarily self-importance, not necessarily. It can be self-preoccupation, but not necessarily. It's not egotism. it's at its core a difficulty in appreciating other people's feelings.
Well, that I lose out on.
Yeah. And so that's really what we're trying
Although
to document.
I just listened to his feelings
egotism,
about it.
But narcissism, which is a little different thing.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So Drew's narcissism test rates you in the following categories. Possible outcomes are low, medium, or high.
Authority, self-sufficiency, superiority, exhibitionism, exploitativeness, vanity, and entitlement.
All right.
Those are the areas they're going to
score you on.
I shouted out my number early on, so surprise, surprise. But Dawson, you got a breakdown of the crew?
Yeah, first of all, any guesses on who maybe scored the highest or the lowest of our team?
You and Brian are always in the clubhouse fighting
for lowest,
out.
For lowest.
Come on, Brian.
God.
Yeah, I don't. The test is so weird, and I can't really judge because the first time I took it, I was extremely high, and I feel like I have like low self-esteem. But the part where other people don't exist, I have a lot of that too. So it's not all. It's really hard to rid yourself of the thought when you hear narcissism, you picture standing in front of a mirror.
Yeah, and there were a lot of questions. Oh, we took the test. There were a lot of questions about: do you like looking at yourself in the mirror? Do you like? Are you constantly not constantly, but do you stop and look in a mirror when you pass it? Things of that nature.
Right.
Right. Okay. Let's.
Would you like to start with the lowest score first?
Yeah, let's start with the lowest first.
Okay, the lowest score, scoring an average of low in everything except for superiority, where this person scored a medium.
Lynch, right?
Brian Bishop.
What?
Wow.
With a score of 4.
4.
I took this
test
knowing that there would be controversy. I took this test again, and like I went back, and like these are the questions I didn't quite feel so strongly about, so I changed my answer, and I got a 7. So I'm somewhere between a 4 and a 7.
Which still, by the way, would put him as the lowest score in the clubhouse.
Interesting. Now, I'm Drew shocked. Brought something up. Do you remember what Drew said about his 6? Gary, do you remember what he talked
about? I'm
sorry,
one more time?
Drew getting a 6. Do you remember what he had to say about that?
I can pull the clip up for you. I've got it queued up here if you just give me a moment.
You have Drew in our final score and what he had thought. Because he had something Brian will be interested in hearing about his abnormally low score. All right. Well
let me also just say, I realized as soon as I saw the score, because I was really fearing I was going to get like a 20. It's out of 35 or something. Or a 30.
40, I think. 40,
no, 34 is what Robin Quivers got.
That's right. So I was like, I'm going to get a 25, 26. Yeah. And I got a 4. I think it's important. Don't confuse narcissism with smugness. You can accuse me of a lot of. Like, you can criticize me validly for a lot of things. I do not think I am narcissistic in the least.
You're very chivalrous. You're very generous.
I think I am, but I am smug, and that is a personality flaw of me. And don't confuse the two because they're not the same. I am quite smug, but I don't think I'm narcissistic.
That's a good point.
Very good point.
So do we have what? Although, enjoy the victory.
Well,
hear what Drew had to say about his 6.
Yeah, this starts with Chris revealing his score to him.
Dr. Drew.
What am I?
6.
Oh. Yeah. That's actually pathological. That's actually getting too low.
Based on his logic I like to spend a lot of time in front of the mirror. I don't care what people think I look like. Please.
Yeah, but that's the effed up
psychology,
we'll
talk to,
right?
We'll talk
that's
to Drew about what too low means.
Yeah, I'd love to. Well, no, I wouldn't love to know. It didn't sound very good.
All right, keep the keep it going.
All right, next up, with a score of 10, averaging low in everything except for a medium in superiority and a medium in exploitativeness, Mike Lynch.
Oh, there you go.
With a 10.
Yeah, the world. All is right again.
Up next, scoring medium in authority and medium in self-sufficiency, low everywhere else with a score of 11, Chris Loxamana.
I was going to guess Chris.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Next up, scoring mediums in authority, superiority, exploitativeness, and vanity.
We shot some hype music.
With low everywhere else and a score of 12, Kalen Bean.
Oh, I tied Kalen.
Next up, scoring medium in authority and self-sufficiency, and low everywhere else with a score of 12, Gary Smith.
No, it's a three-way tie.
On 12s.
Next up with medium scores in authority, self-sufficiency, and superiority. Low scores everywhere else. A score of 14, Matt Fondelier.
Boom. Porcelain Punisher. Seeker of pleasure.
Boom.
Punisher of porcelain.
Next with a medium superiority, medium in exhibitionism, exploitativeness, vanity, entitlement, and a low in authority and self-sufficiency. A score of 15 is Dylan.
Dylan.
Next up with, we're going to see our first high scores coming in.
All right.
Mediums in self-sufficiency, exploitativeness, and vanity. Lows in entitlement, exhibitionism, and authority. And a high score of superiority with a final score of 17, Gina Grad.
All right.
Let me say this.
I had no idea I felt so superior.
I had Christy take the test, and she got a 14. I think this test is gender biased a little bit because there are a lot of questions about do you care about how you look? Do you like when other people compliment on your looks? And I think for most dudes, we don't care. But I know when Christy wears something new to the office, she's like, oh, I got a lot of compliments on my blah, blah, blah.
That's a very good point.
I think that's normal for girls and not normal for guys.
That's interesting. We should ask Drew about that. But on
this test is flawed.
But see, he would probably say you saying you liked being complimented on your looks wouldn't be a bad thing.
Oh, right. It's possible.
Well, according to this test, because this test, it's not as straightforward as hey, I look good in this, right, and people know it. Right. And so thus my score is going to go up, I think. Okay. But we should ask him.
And it says the average score for the average American is 15.
Average score is 15.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We are definitely above the average now. With mediums in authority, self-sufficiency, superiority, vanity, and entitlement. A low in exploitativeness and a high in exhibitionism with a score of 21. Dawson.
Yeah. Wow.
Dawson's a musician. He should be high in exhibitionism.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, get on stage.
Well, one of the questions was, if someone dares you to do something, you're going to do it. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to do it.
That was a hard no.
Okay.
Wait, we're still going?
We have one more.
Oh, my God.
Our winner. Or?
Winner.
With a medium score of authority, a low score of self-sufficiency, a high score of superiority, a medium score of exhibitionism, a high score of exploitativeness, a high score of vanity, and a medium score of entitlement, Nick Davis.
Yeah.
With a score of 25.
Well done, sir.
All right.
I love that he has high superiority and low self-sufficiency.
You're all going to do this for me. Don't argue with me.
But Nick and I did tie for the lowest on the snowflake test. So Nick is a real conundrum.
Yeah, we'll get Drew in one of these days and figure out some of the stuff, break down the data. All right, let's get some news ready. I'll tell you guys first about LifeLock. Oh, new scam out there. Smishing. That's right, smishing. It's a new thing the kids are doing. They take fraud texts that appear to be from your bank or credit card company. Always called to verify those alerts before clicking the links. God, I really do mean it. And everyone, I think, sort of thinks I'm kidding, but I'm not. Thieves are first and foremost lazy.
Yeah.
Like everyone else has to get all those guys on the other side of the glass, have to get up and put their boots on, like go to work every day. These guys are just lazy. And now they don't have to crawl down any chimneys or bust in any patio doors.
Effort.
They just stay at home, steal your identity. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds in ways you may not be able to detect if you're only monitoring your credit score. Thieves could sell your information on the dark web or get an online payday loan in your name. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock, it's the best. Get it. I got it. Dawson.
Act now and get the added protection of Norton Security free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for a limited time, you'll also get a special 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. Call 1-800-LifeLock or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code ADAM15. That's ADAM15 to save 15% today. Terms apply.
All right. Should we do a little news, Gina Grant?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, the national movement to change racially offensive names of buildings, sports teams, and landmarks will soon touch a group of schools in southeast Portland. This is according to OregonLive.com. Lynch Meadows, Lynchwood, and Lynchview Elementary Schools will shed their lynch before the upcoming school year in response to growing concern about the world's racial, I'm sorry, the word's racial connotation.
Growing concern.
Yeah.
Amongst who? Starting when?
And was it named for the view of lynching trees?
Of course not. The schools were named for the Lynch family, which donated all the land over a century ago to build the schools. But Centennial School Superintendent Paul Coakley says many newer families coming into the district associate the name with America's violent racial history. The upcoming change is a new step in a movement that in Oregon has focused primarily on names insensitive to Native Americans. Now that movement, most prominent on college campuses with professional sports teams and among state geography boards, has reached the elementary school level.
I feel like we're going insane. I also feel like it's just some sort of race to see who's more progressive. Mm-hmm. And also, I cannot see any right-thinking person who's in any kind of position of power thinking that this is going to have any kind of effect on any group at any time.
I also hate, yes, all that, and I hate when the wrong interpretation of something becomes the justification for doing something.
Yes.
Is Mike Lynch supposed to change his name?
Yes.
Please, can we look that up, please?
No. Yeah. Well, August does want to demo his house.
Oh, that's true.
Some of the Lynch residents should be taken down.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, after we took a tour.
Out there in Lynchville.
Mike was explaining all the things he wanted to do to his new home. Mike August said, why don't you just tear the whole place down?
Start
which
over.
Is not what you want to hear after you've talked about how much work he did in the basement.
Yep.
But it's stupid. It's insane. It is. Okay. Why? So what do I care? Why do I care about this? The reason I care about it is because I feel like it satiates and it shouldn't because it got nothing done. Mm-hmm. It's the same symbolic way I feel about people who go, what, you know, I always say, like, where's the cable guy? I called him. Where is he? That was 2 months ago. He never called back. Okay. Don't feel satiated. Feel like you've got nothing done.
Yeah, you're still zero.
If you're worried about black families or you're worried about indigenous people and you're worried about what they're doing and what they're not doing well and why they may be struggling or falling behind, I know it feels good to call this Cotton Ball Acres instead of Lynch View. Oh.
Well, I was going to say, that's not much better.
Pick something soft. Unicorn.
That's
Unicorn Land. Mm-hmm. Although, do not worry. Someone is going to find a problem with whatever you name it 18 years from now. Like your pussy kids are who are indoctrinated. Mm-hmm. I don't like it because we as people have a kind of a satiation thing. We do it with food. We do it with many. We do it sort of spiritually. Like we have this thing where we kind of go, oh, okay, I'm done here. Or I don't have a thirst or a desire for this or a hunger for this anymore because I've done this. I've checked this box. And it's kind of the it's actually the aha. It's the opposite of what Vinnie Tortorich said, which is you open that bag of low fat baked Pringle, you know, barbecue chips or ranch flavored chips, and you just keep eating them and eating them and eating them, but it never satiates you. Whereas you have that very small piece of marbled beef and you feel satiated. This has all the empty calories of a bag of puff chips, but has the satiation of the butter and the fat. So it's like, hey, let's just go do nothing. Now, I feel satisfied. Mm-hmm. We can rest now. No, you can't rest.
It's a bucket of movie theater popcorn.
Right. The families whose ancestors were lynched or whose ancestors were run off their land, and indigenous people, whatever, they're not doing well. And I know you feel our work is done except for you've done nothing.
Right.
If you wanted to feel satiated, and I think people do, like in the good department, like what do we do good for these people? These people, we took their land. We raped their women. What are we going to do about it? Let's change the name of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, satiated. All right, go home. Now, reaching out, counseling, donating services, expertise, whatever that is that would satiate as well would actually move the needle.
Well, you'd also have to get off the couch for that.
This is a little easier.
Yeah.
I get my...
And thanks for nothing, Lynch family that gave all the land.
There should be a lawsuit by the family. If my family had land, if they donated the cleaning deposit from their apartment... I did love talking to Ray, whose parents were just habitual apartment dwellers. And I said, your parents died. They died probably within about 5 years of each other. I said, but you got the cleaning deposit back on the apartment. And he's like, yes, I did.
Oh my God.
Wow. Can you imagine that?
What a day.
Your 71-year-old dad dies. And like, here's $488.
That's his inheritance.
Oh, wait a minute. It looked like he may have missed the potted plant and yacked onto the carpet over here.
Take a 50 out of $375.
Yeah.
Your parents die, you get a cleaning deposit for an apartment back. It's so perfect. So this is... If I left a bunch of land and I said, I'm donating this land and I want you to build schools on this land. And then you went, it's why, first off, no good deed goes unpunished. Also, these asshole... misguided, pompous. By the way, these dicks should take Drew's test. These guys from it's so arrogant.
Yes,
it's insanely arrogant. It's supremely arrogant, and it does nothing, and it sends a horrible message to all the students because the students need knowledge and wisdom. Yeah. They don't need, let's just change the name. They need someone to sit down to them. If, by the way, not that anyone ever does this, because Lynch, it's pretty ubiquitous common name out here. But let's just say there was one concern. By the way, they're not black. They're white. Everyone here is white, and they're the ones that are concerned about the message because you're fucking hero. If one of these 9-year-old little snowflakes is upset or confused... Here's a nice teachable moment.
Educate them.
Yeah.
Yes, educate them.
Agree.
Lynch is a very popular surname, and it's a family. Hey, here's Hezekiah Lynch. He settled this, and he was a very generous man, and he amassed his fortune working on freight liners, and now he donated that land so you could have school. So we should be thankful, Lynch. And by the way, tell all your friends.
Mm-hmm. Spread the word.
A little teachable moment.
Absolutely. Every time it's like it's misinterpreted, like we're changing the name for the wrong reason or doing something for the wrong reason, getting upset for the wrong reason, you know, the name Lynch versus the word Lynch, like dumb wins a little bit. Dumb wins. Gary, you can probably Google this. This was like five, six years ago. There was a congressman or a senator who on the floor of the either Congress or Senate used the word niggardly.
Right.
Niggardly is a word that
spelled different.
Yeah, it means cheap. N-I-G-G-A-R-D-L-Y. Means cheap. I remember that because it was an SAT word. I had to learn this word. And I remember learning it. I mean, like, I'd never heard it before when I was 16 or whatever it was. I was like, wow, that's crazy. Okay, I guess that's what it means. And he used it to mean, you know, cheap and outrage. He had to apologize the next day for, I'm sorry I used that word, which doesn't actually, is what he had to say. Like, doesn't actually mean anything bad, but I'm sorry that it made you, kind of shamed you in a way. Like, it made you think that you, it made you realize you don't know what it means and you misreacted, but now I have to apologize. And it was a, you have the
2012 Senator Sherrod Brown, Democrat from Ohio.
There you go. 5 years ago. Yeah, he used it on the floor of the Senate and he got lynched. There you go.
Well, and I think we might actually be having be coming on the show at some point. Owen Benjamin, the comedian, has a great bit about using the word retarded over moron or idiot and how historically moron and idiot are so much more offensive than something that specifically just means to stop growing.
He'll be on a week from Friday.
Yeah, he's a really interesting guy.
Anybody in the car world knows you can advance or retard
music,
the timing.
Fire retardant.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Well,
I hate
everybody.
We're slowly dying.
But where's that? Out of Portland's going insane, right? And I also...
How many lynches were done in Oregon?
Zero. Actually, a lot less lynches than anyone even thought. Like if you listen to Freakonomics and they're talking about the Klan basically, pardon the pun, but sort of hung that over the heads of people lynching. But there was not nearly as much lynching as the threat assume that that would stop a lot of people from doing a lot of things, but it wasn't. We were led to believe that this was going on all day, every day. They just sort of used it as a tool. But this has got to be a reaction to Trump, though, right? Like, everyone's just in sort of double time. Like,
yeah, double down on the...
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, there was one in the state, one in the state's history.
Certainly one too many. I feel
like that's exception that proves the rule.
Right. Okay.
Well, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer announced his resignation last Friday after a rocky 6 months on the job. His resignation came just moments after President Trump appointed Anthony Scaramucci as White House Communications Director. Trump reportedly asked Spicer to stay on, but he declined. Scaramucci is a wealthy New York financier, a Fox News contributor, is known for his spirited on-air defense of President Trump. Scaramucci and Spicer have had a tense relationship in the past. Sources say Spicer disagreed with this appointment.
One that got him fired? Yep. He thought that was a bad idea?
Trump initially wanted Scaramucci as director of the White House Office of Public Liaison and Intergovernmental Affairs, but his appointment was held up by a review of his finances by the Office of Government Ethics.
Spicer and Scaramucci both have the... what I know what they look like as kids, adult, and I'm trying to think, like, who got the furthest, who's the furthest example away from that?
Like, meaning?
Like, they're guys, like
you saw a baby picture, you'd be like, what?
You take an act, not even a baby, it's always pictures of like seven.
Yeah.
You know, where you go, I could tell what he looked like. He looks like an adult man, mm-hmm. baby. Scaramucci's got a little bit of that, too. Maybe the actor Brian Cox is pretty far away.
Wow, yeah.
From that as the who. Now, look, guys can put on weight
Brian
or lose
Dennehy,
hair.
Any Brian.
Anybody named Brian. But I'm trying to think of the guys that just, like, they're guys who just kind of look like them,
yeah.
Their whole life, they just look like kids.
I see that all the time.
You can see what they look like. Yep. Scaramucci has that same kid man child look that Spicer had. But Spicer had the hair.
Well, Spicer looked a little like Lumpy from Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah,
had that vibe. All of a sudden, I can't. Sam Elliott. I think that's as far away as you get.
Yeah,
being able to picture him as a
without being fat or losing your hair.
Yeah. Bruce Jenner, probably pretty far away.
Yeah. That's a good
first grade picture.
Yeah.
This is a really disturbing story, but it's been tweeted so many times, I'd be sort of remiss not to bring it up. The Washington Post reports that a 32-year-old who walked with the aid of a cane drowned on July 9th in Cocoa, Florida, a coastal city east of Orlando. But what makes this story really disturbing is that some teenagers, ages 14 to 16, filmed the incident as they laughed and mocked the man, then posted the video to social media. The video, which police called extremely disturbing.
A series of great decisions.
Right. Found... by detectives and handed over to the Brevard County State Attorney's Office, which recently released it. A spokeswoman for the police department said that Dunn, the man who died, started to struggle and scream for help, and they just laughed. They didn't call the police. They just laughed the whole time. He was just screaming for someone to help. The teens were identified and questioned by detectives investigating the case, but they are unlikely to face charges. It seems counterintuitive, but it's kind of not. They weren't directly involved in his drowning. There's no Good Samaritan laws there that would, force bystanders to help in an emergency.
I haven't seen the video. Was it close enough to help?
I honestly can't watch it. And there's audio, and I'm not interested.
Terrible. Not at the moment, but it played out long enough that they could have briskly walked and made it in time.
Yeah. What was the guy with the disability doing swimming?
Well, here's what they say.
By the way, this is our disability problem test. Like, is it a mental problem? Is it a physical problem?
Well,
when he drowns.
He walked with a cane. He couldn't really get himself back onto shore.
You're kind of going, what's he doing in the lake?
Well, did he fall?
No, let me fill you in a little bit. It's not going to be satisfying, but at least it's a little something. He had two young children. He was at the pond following an argument with his fiance shortly before the incident and walked in on his own, according to authorities.
Oh, so he was like distraught.
Maybe so.
Usually when you argue with your fiance and then
and walk into a pond.
Water.
Yeah.
Police said there appeared to be little regret from the teens involved after the incident. Just a bizarre and unfortunately,
yeah, there's a new kind of thing, and I worry the most about these people. And I've said it before, when somebody goes in and they put their finger in their sweat jacket and they go, I got a gun in here, now give me what's in the cash register, I can wrap my mind around that person. That person's poor, or they're desperate, or they're drug addicts, and they didn't really have a gun or whatever it is, and And there's lots of crimes that sort of fall under that heading. And then there are the ones where the guy does have the gun, does clear out the cash register, takes two steps through the door, and then turns around and shoots a guy in the head and walks out anyway. And it's my sort of like, you see these videos and somebody's getting beat up on a bus or something, and some guy has no dog in the fight, just comes walking, and while the guy's on the floor starts punching him or kicking them in the head, and you're like, who could physically do this? You know, like literally just start kicking somebody in the forehead with your boot who you've never even met before, who's on a bus sitting a few rows behind you. That and the sort of laughing while the person's drowning or whatever it is, those individuals are the scariest people on the planet to me.
They're the purge people.
Yeah, the rob, the jewel thief, or the guy who's trying to do identity theft, or even the guys robbing the liquor store. Like, I get those guys. They want money. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're a little out of their mind, or they're beaked up or whatever. But the ones, you know, and like, I hung around with horrible people. But if some weak person was getting beat up on or knocked to the ground or left to drown, they would have dove into that lake. They would have immediately jumped into the fray if someone was getting bullied or hurt or something. That cruelty, that sort of that detachment, that ability to not have any kind of empathy, that's scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I wonder if we're breeding more and more of those people on this planet, because I feel like that
desensitization
is, yes, and that is the scariest quality a human being could have.
And I believe in Gary, I don't know, it was in the headline, so maybe you can confirm this, but I believe one of the pieces of audio, you know, the kids were laughing, one guy wasn't, in the, you know, one of the teenagers was a little freaked out, and I believe the comment was, what, you afraid to see a guy drown, you afraid to see a guy die?
Ugh.
It was just right. Really, really scary.
All right, let's bring it home.
Oh, but we happy can't note. End on that note.
Yes. All
let me
You're
give
right.
you one more.
Happy note.
Okay. Well, O.J. Simpson was granted parole and now has a couple of months to think about what he's going to do next once he goes free. Shortly after the Nevada Board of Parole Commissioners agreed to let him go, O.J. received his first job offer from Nevada.
Oh, yeah. Hoff.
Brothel bunny ranch owner Dennis Hoff. Now, yeah.
Dennis
said,
is injecting himself into a national story.
But right. But it's for the best position ever. A greeter.
Yeah, bouncer.
Yeah, just a welcome to Walmart. I love you. He said he'd also let him live on the ranch as long as he's employed. Now, this is crazy like a fox. Hoff told TMZ, one of the conditions of a prisoner being granted parole is always having an established place to live and a job to go to. I can offer OJ both of those things. But the offer isn't sitting well with the girls who work at the ranch. They're taking a stand. Many are threatening to quit if Simpson's hired and ends up being the roommate.
Where's he going to find more whores?
Yeah. I feel like,
I came for OJ, but I'll
well,
take
where, what do we want the guy to do? You know, we want him to pay taxes, right?
Yeah.
Where else? Maybe he can get a job at Amazon. I don't know if those 14 rules to live by, those principles are going to work for OJ.
But yeah, he hangs out in the main room, drinks, and charms the people.
I'm all right with it. And as far as the dudes who frequent those places, there's nobody better than OJ to be hanging there.
Absolutely. Real. A lot of selfies.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of selfies being taken.
Maybe Dennis is the genius.
I think
Dennis
he is
a genius.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Ah, True Car, man. Shopping for a car? Why not? Let's go with True Car. You actually can find out what the inventory is. You can configure your car online, and it's there. It's waiting for you. A lot of these times, you get the whole car, and the car's not there, and you got screwed. No, not with True Car. Real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing by actual True Car certified dealers. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. True Car users save an average of $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy new, when you're ready to buy used, visit True Car. You find out what other people are paying and enjoy a more confident buying experience. New, used, does not matter. You go the smart route. You go with True Car. All right. We got our podcasting masterclass that's coming up on August 5th. That's in Irvine. Come on out. We'll all be there. at the Corolla Drinks event, the music and comedy event. Dawson's going to be there, and he's playing, and Loxie's playing there. And we got stand-up, and the whole gang will be there. That's Saturday, South Bay Customs in El Segundo. Got barbecue, got some mangria, got some endless rant. Enjoy yourself. Also, King of the Underdogs. You can pre-order it now at Chassis. Chassis.com. Two S's and a Y there. No safe spaces. Check that out. Get yourself some buck slips over at the merch store at AdamCarolla.com. Till next time, Adam Carolla for Gina Grad and Bald Brian. Say it. Mahalo. One dump jump.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Just click the link at AdamCarolla.com. Saturday night, South Bay Customs in El Segundo, where you left your wallet. Be there. Get your tickets for Loxie and the Smoking Kills at Carolla Drinks. com. And for tickets on all the live podcasts, including the Corolla Cruise in November, Mangry events, books, movies, and more, go to AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new amazing app.
This one's a game changer.
There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more.
Plus every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen.
And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more.
So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself. Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcast1.com.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.